Exchange 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Improving relations between the world's two largest economies could drive trading on Wall Street down today. ABC's Rachel Scott traveling with President Trump for his first big meeting in South Korea overnight.
The president's entire trip here in Asia was building to this high-stakes moment, this face-to-face meeting between President Trump and Chinese President Xi. After months of going tit-for-tat on trade, the president announcing a one-year truce.
The Dow futures are down 200 points. President also saying nuclear weapons testing will resume for the first time in three decades, saying that the only thing that will put the U.S. on an equal basis with Russia and China is that. One thing not resolved in talks with China, issues related to TikTok's ownership. Haiti, Jamaica, Cuba picking up the pieces after Hurricane Melissa's destruction. There were at least 30 deaths across the Caribbean. This is day 30 of the government shutdown, with federal food assistance benefits set to expire on Saturday. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding hunters to consider donating deer they harvest to the agency's deer donation program. According to a press release, the program has been stocking venison at food pantries across the state since it began in 2000. In that time, over 100,000 deer and 4 million pounds of ground venison have been used to help area residents in need. Hunters interested in donating their deer must field dress it as they usually would, test it for chronic wasting disease, and contact a participating processor. Governor Tony Evers has announced the Wisconsin State Building Commission approved nearly $750 million from the biennial state budget for construction projects across the state. According to a press release, the State Building Commission also approved the release of $15 million to begin implementing the governor's Comprehensive Correctional Facilities Plan. Other projects that will receive a portion of the funding include building projects at universities of Wisconsin campuses and maintenance projects at state agency buildings. Two Northwest Wisconsin Emergency Response Departments have received grant funding for purchasing new equipment and upgrading their technology. The grant funding came from Compeer Financial's Fund for Rural America. In total, over $200,000 of funding was awarded to support 54 emergency response departments from across the state. Among those were the Spooner Fire District, which purchased a new fire hose with the grant funding, and Gordon-Wascott EMS in Douglas County, which purchased new carbon monoxide detectors. The Rice Lake Board of Education has approved its operating budget for the 2025-2026 school year. The board approved a $58 million budget for this year at its meeting on Monday, a roughly $5 million increase over the budget from last year. Officials say the motivation for increasing the budget stems from a $1.4 million decrease in state aid revenue, as well as an increase in property taxes of nearly $415,000. The tax levy will also be $21.8 million this year, about $1.8 million higher than last school year. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers prepare for the Panthers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Carolina Panthers Sunday at noon. Green Bay will wear their 1923 throwback jerseys. Jordan Love named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week for his performance against the Steelers. College hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers over the UW-Platteville Pioneers, 69-53 in a charity exhibition. The Badgers getting off to a slow start, shooting, giving up turnovers. Great guard.
Yeah, the turnovers will break down, but I was happy with how we turned up the defensive pressure late in the first half.
The Bucks at home for a big one against Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors tonight. Baseball, the Minnesota Twins have hired Derek Shelton as their new manager. Shelton had been the bench coach there before taking over as the Pirates manager 5 years ago. The Blue Jays winning Game 5 of the World Series, 6-1. Game 6 tomorrow night in Toronto. The Blue Jays lead the Dodgers 3-2. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
Some fog this morning, but that will burn off here later today. But we will stay cloudy with a high right around 48 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We're going to drop to 31 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with some scattered showers, maybe even a flurry mixed in, with a high in the mid to upper 40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
What's going on with Earl Ingram?
The No Kings rallies across this nation, they reminded me of, it was an organization called the Tea Party. Senior citizens were a part of the Tea Party. And there are a lot of senior citizens involved in the No Kings rallies.
Listen to the Civic Media exclusive podcast, What's Going On with Earl Ingram. Find the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, if only our cattle producers knew as much about cattle as that famous rancher Donald Trump. We talk to Wisconsin farmer Hans Breitenmoser about Argentinian beef.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Lake Wissota this morning. Good morning, 8:06. Nice to have you back here up north on a Thursday morning. It is October 30th. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. Chad Holmes is standing by. We'll be hearing from Joe Zepecki this hour, Todd Alba, and Sean O'Malley talking about why the stock market's doing so well when everything else does not appear to be doing so well. Yeah, it's a bubble, unfortunately, and we're going to talk more about that in just a bit. In our last hour, we were talking about Medicare Advantage plans, and this on the text line from Jan in Oak Creek. Medicare Advantage wasn't put in place to help people on Medicare. It was established so that private insurance companies can make a profit off of recipients. It's part of a decades-long plan by Republicans to privatize all social services. They see a big pot of money, and they want to get their hands on it. Might be some of the truest words spoken this week, and you can add your comments on the text line as well, either 855-75-CIVIC or use the Civic Media app to reach out to us and let us know what's on your mind. You can also send a voice note or record a voice note as well, if you prefer. Let's see, we've got also in the comment sections of YouTube and Facebook over on YouTube. From Rob, good morning from Tigerton. The sun is coming up. It's 30 degrees. Going to mow up some leaves today. Yesterday had a doctor's appointment in Shawano. Still a little color on the trees in the city. Took a few pictures. He says, around my area, Shawano, Anago, and Waupaca get pronounced wrong on the Weather Channel during severe weather season. True. Watching the World Series last night, weird to see Dodger Stadium emptying out by the eighth inning. Oh, they could be winning or losing, and people would be like, oh, you know, that L.A. traffic, you know, got to get going. He says if Toronto wins the World Series Friday night, they would have titles in all three in six games. So good for them. So, again, that's tomorrow after the Blue Jays beat the Dodgers last night. Let's see. So let's, with that, turn over to somebody who's been covering more high school football than World Series, but the seasons, they are a-changing for Chad Holmes, and he joins us now from 98.9. WXCO. How are you, Mr. Holmes?
Very, very good. By the way, I have been to Dodger Stadium, and it is a wonderful place to watch a baseball game.
Is it? Okay.
It really was. A number of years ago, I went to a Dodger Brewer game back in the day. I actually lived in Hollywood for a year. I may not know that, but it was actually a very interesting, fun year. But
you can hear the brakes being put on this segment real quick here. I'm sorry. You lived in Hollywood for a year.
Literally walk out the door of my where I lived, the apartment, Look to the left down the road and see the Hollywood sign.
Wow.
It was, and I spent way too much money, and then I came back home a year later.
I was going to say, were you in any commercials, or were you played the part of a corpse on Law and Order or anything?
I was on a game show.
You get out of here. Look at this stuff I'm learning over here. All right. Again, put the needle across the record again. We got to stop what we're doing. There we go. Tell me more.
It was a game show named On the Cover. And it was a short-lived game show. It was on what was called the PAX Network. Remember the PAX Network?
No.
Okay, well, the PAX Network. But it was a fun little, it was a, basically, it used magazine covers and used sort of questions on pop culture. And it was actually kind of a fun little show. It had two rounds. The first round, I swear my clicker wasn't working properly because clicking. And I felt way behind, but then I made a massive comeback in the second round. Ooh. I mean, I was way behind and I was in third place, and then I got to within one question of winning it, but the time ran out and then did not go to the bonus round. But it was interesting to do that.
Fascinating. Wow.
It was on TV and it was kind of cool.
Things we learn. Wow, that's great. as Rob notes on YouTube, Chad's getting ready for basketball now. I take that to mean your football coverage is over for a year?
Yeah, my football coverage ended last Friday. So now we get two and a half weeks now. It's like 3 weeks from this past Tuesday will be our first basketball game. So get a chance. And actually, next week I'm back, but then I'm taking a week off. So it's like that I take a vacation. One week in the summer to go off and play me some poker in Las Vegas. And then I take 1 week between football and winter sports. And I'm going to take a week off. And I'm looking forward to going down to the Chicago area. I'm probably going to play a little poker down there. But I'm actually planning on going to the United Center for the first time and see a hockey game actually there. So
That would be nice. Yeah, I would love to see a hockey game there. Let's come to poker for a moment. And let's get to that big scandal from last week involving some NBA players and coaches and mob figures. And part of it was about, you know, the sports betting. But another big part of it was about these poker games, these illegal poker games where people think they're being invited. There's going to be, you know, a celebrity there, an NBA player or something like that, not realizing everybody else around the table is in on this and that there are ways that they're cheating to see your cards and get your money. Chad, the first time you heard this report last week, what'd you think?
I have never been involved in anything like that.
Well, no.
But I mean, it's like, I don't know some of the, I don't know the tricks. That's one thing that's what I've never been that deep into it, but the idea of these, I find it odd that we still have to have these illegal games because they're so, gambling has become so prevalent. And I guess with the poker, it's a little bit more difficult to find the games because, like, I don't really have anywhere I go around here, so I don't play very much outside of my little trips. But there's so much gambling going on. And one of the funniest aspects about that story was the next morning on ESPN, they're doing a rundown talking about Chauncey Billups being suspended and a couple players being involved. And in the corner, there's an ad for ESPN Bet.
Yes, of course.
It was so funny. First $10, you get to, you know, matching, whatever it is, you know, and it's like, but no, I mean, that part of the story is kind of beyond anything that I've experienced in the past.
So, I mean, yeah, so all of the, with the poker tables, I mean, now the whole way that poker got popular on television, you know, you get these little tiny pinhole TV cameras that can see the players' cards, you know, on TV, but of course all the other players can't see. But it turns out they all have like either earpieces or other ways of signaling, you know, what you're seeing on these cards. And it is just so it's both disturbing and also not surprising. You know, obviously there's always people trying to cheat other people, but I guess at one point there was like X-ray tables or something to read the cards.
I mean, just crazy. How does Chauncey Billups get involved in this? That was my thing. It's like you're the head basket, you're the head coach of the Portland Trail Blazers. You're an NBA legend, so you made money for many years in the league, and you're involved in. I mean, I can almost understand if you're somebody that just likes playing and may have got yourself in over your head in terms of gambling losses because you just can't help yourself. I mean, addiction, you know. But this is planned. This is I don't understand his reasons behind it. It really blows my mind in a certain way.
Especially when you consider, yes, they had NBA contracts. They were not, you know, applying for SNAP benefits. And yet they always need that extra edge. It's not so much the need for the money, but the need to gamble and win, that very competitive nature that drives them.
But it's cheating. You're not competing, though.
That's just it. Yes. Yeah. I don't understand that part at all. And I wondered last week, and of course, in one of the rare cases where Parker was actually the grown up and I was the innocent, you know, youth, I was saying, I don't know, this might really, you know, put a nail in the coffin of, you know, like, you know, sports betting and all that. And Parker kind of patted me on the head. He's like, there, it's not going away. And it's not, I mean, it was a headline for a couple of days, and the betting, you know, sites, I thought they might take their commercials down. Nope. They're going like never before.
You know, in a big picture kind of way, scandal does not have the same punch it used to. True. I mean, you remember back in the days, whether it was Nixon or Iran-Contra, whatever it may be,
or the NCAA, you know, the things that would get you the quote unquote death penalty are now just another day under right. NIL deals.
I mean, the scandals are just a couple of days, and then we move on to the next thing. And then, I mean, our attention span as a society seems to have gone down to zero. And that's been concerning because, you know, we have a scandal of the day when it comes to our administration, and things that would have ended political careers in the past have not. And I think maybe in the same realm, things that would have ended sports careers are not doing the same as well.
And I don't know where that ends. If you no longer have shame, if you no longer have shock value, where does this end? And I hate to make a dark pivot to politics, but I will for a second here, in that you hear about these couple of federal prosecutors who were just fired for using the words mob and riot to accurately describe January 6th. But they were talking yesterday about how public opinion polling shows that among many Republicans, their perception of the events of January 6th have flipped. You know, you had 70% plus believing that what happened on January 6th was wrong. Now that number is down to something like 30% believe that what happened on January 6th was wrong. And I have no easy way to say this is how we're going to retool, re-educate, remoralize Americans to recognize that there are things that are wrong. And even if you liked that person or supported that person, it's okay to be shocked and not want that, not to support that thing happening.
No, exactly right. And I mean, there's so many things that were considered norms that are not norms anymore. I mean, it was a norm where you didn't see a president blatantly profiting on his office.
Oh my goodness.
Where there would have been just an incredible.
Again, Jimmy Carter had to sell his farm. He had to sell his peanut farm because, you know, he would be ultimately in charge of agricultural policy, and you didn't want any appearance of a conflict of interest. And now, between the crypto scams and now this ballroom, which is just going to be one big thing for, it ought to be named after Whirlpool for all the money laundering that's probably going to be going on as part of this thing.
Have you heard what the name of the ballroom has been proposed?
No,
by Trump?
What?
The Donald Trump Ballroom.
Oh, yeah, shocking. But like we said a few days ago, in case folks missed it, any Democrat running for president simply has to make sure you include this in your campaign promise. That name is going to be changed instantly to either like the Barack Obama Ballroom or something else, because eventually Trump and others will move on from the scene. And I always think of one of those Christmas animated specials, the one with the Burgermeister Meisterburger. And eventually, you know, the guys that tried to make all the toys illegal, they fade from the scene. Their paintings are taken down from the wall, and they're put into the ash can of history where they belong. And we will find, you know, other better names for these things, other better use for ourselves. But we have to get through this crisis first. And that's a tall order these days, but I still feel like we can do it.
Well, I hope you're right.
I hope so too, because you know why? Because we need voices talking to other people who believe in these things like morality and normalcy again. And Chad Holmes is one of those folks. You can catch his updates on 98.9 WXCO or on the app or through WXCO.fm or the Civic Media website. Thank you, Chad. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. We're going to talk about the potential for a stock market bubble involving artificial intelligence with Sean O'Malley talking about your money in the markets, and still Joe Sapecki coming along as well. Live from the lake, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Transform your bathroom with the beautiful quality of Bath Planet. Bath Planet has earned the Good Housekeeping Seal, a symbol of quality and consumer confidence for over 100 years. And right now, for a limited time, you can upgrade your bathroom for 50% off installation, or choose 18 months with no interest and no payments. But you need to call now. This special offer is only available by calling 800-329-4115. That's 800-329-4115. Call 800-329-4115 right now before the offer ends.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is, and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
This weekend, we all fall back. Daylight saving time ends and we turn our clocks back 1 hour. It's also a good time to check your smoke detectors and replace those batteries. Stay safe, stay on time. A message from your local Civic Media radio station.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today.
With me today is Mary, and she is a public health nurse with Sawyer County. Hello, Mary. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Mark. Thank you very much.
So, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do with Sawyer County, maybe how long you've been there and your experiences.
Okay. I am with Sawyer County Public Health. I've been there for about 2 years now. I was with Sawyer County Public Health prior to COVID for another 3 years.
Okay.
Left a little bit and came back. And then I do a lot of different things with public health. So we work with a wide variety of topics.
Different hats and different, yeah.
Yes, yes.
I know somebody that works with you that wears several different hats as well.
Oh, so. Yes. Yeah, and part of my job with Sawyer County this time is to run the LCO Sawyer County SART program. So this is a program where we bring in law enforcement, advocates, the medical field, and we are working to make sure any victim of sexual assault becomes a survivor.
Okay.
And
what's the acronym stand for?
SART? SART is Sexual Assault Response Team.
Okay.
So we meet once a month and we talk about things that topics that we need to address. We may talk about if there was a sexual assault, just the process. Did we make sure we got that victim everything they needed?
Okay. Statistically, how big of a problem is that in Sawyer County?
Basically, with sexual assaults, we see in Sawyer County, we can see some, I would say maybe 10 a year that we see. Okay. What we don't see is the problem too. Right. So about one in every four women have been sexually assaulted. So if you think about that in regards to a family party, one in every four women may have been assaulted at that party you go to.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a real problem and people don't talk about it enough.
Right, yeah. So you brought some information along with you. We're going to talk a little bit about, I guess, strangulation. What do you have to share about that?
Sure. I went to a four-day course on non-fatal and near-fatal strangulation with the Training Institute on strangulation. So since then, and with SART, our SART group, I've been able to train law enforcement, medical providers, ambulance, about the dangers of strangulation. And with strangulation, a lot of people think of choking, that they're the same thing. But really, choking is a blockage of the airway. But when someone's strangled, you'll even hear them say that they were choked. However, strangulation is pressure on the blood vessels of the neck, and it can prevent circulation to the neck and breathing. So that could lead to brain issues as well.
So strangulation is, like you said, maybe a stronger physical pressure put on someone's neck or throat where they block the larynx or esophagus. That's more of a choking versus the blood vessels for strangulation. Is that how I'm understanding it?
That's correct. And you'd be very surprised to know how very little pressure it takes to start doing damage. At 4 pounds of pressure, that can block the jugular veins, which is the blood coming back down from the brain.
Okay.
At 11 pounds of pressure, that can block the carotid artery, so all your blood flow up to the brain.
Yeah.
And then at 33 pounds of pressure, it can crush the larynx.
Sure.
So when I'm training, I bring a machine with me and hand you this machine here. It's a strength tester. So if you just try to squeeze, you'll see how fast you go above 4 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
So what's your strength mark on that?
Well, if I pull it fully, I mean, I'm at 22.
Okay. So you've already crushed the jugular veins and the carotid artery. So that blood is stopping just like a garden hose. It's got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And we start seeing backup and flow damage to the eyes. Maybe we could see petechiae, which are red dots on the roof of the mouth.
Huh.
And it also stops the oxygen to the brain too.
Yeah.
So
Mary, what kind of information do we want to get out to the public about strangulation? We've already defined what is the difference between a choke and strangulation. What information do you want to get out there to our listeners?
I want people to know that it can be extremely dangerous when someone applies pressure to your neck. So even if someone's putting their hand on your neck to pull you close to kiss, that is not good. I would try to get away from that practice. It is something that is becoming more common. We don't want to see it more common because just that little bit of pressure is all it takes to cause a problem.
Yeah.
And the problems can be longstanding. You might not see them for several months, unfortunately.
Yeah. You had mentioned that was, you know, a gentle pull on the neck is maybe a grooming element for a predator to then slowly start to increase the pressure on that neck. And it's just that practice of grabbing the front or the back of the neck is an issue?
That's correct. Any side of the neck, they can grab it on both sides to pull from the front, anything they do, or two hands on the neck.
Yeah.
Any of that is something that could cause damage. And the damage we won't see, unfortunately, unless we get specialized equipment to see it.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. If someone has experienced, maybe they call it choking or strangulation, is there a number that they can call to report or to get help on this?
Absolutely, Mark. They should call 911 right away to report to police. If they don't feel comfortable reporting to police, they should go to their medical provider or a hospital, urgent care, as soon as possible for that.
Okay.
And if anybody would like more information about strangulation and what I do, you can always call Public Health at 715-634-4806 and ask for Mary.
All right. Thank you very much, Mary. You did a great job.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it.
That conversation was with Mary, the Sawyer County Public Health Nurse and SANE Nurse, which is the Sexual Assault Nurse Examiner for St. Croix Valley SART. You can reach Mary at 715-634-4806. Again, 715-634-4806.
4806 or marys@sawyercounty.gov. You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the radio station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward area information tomorrow morning. It's 8:29.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZH. Hayward's real news and great conversation, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. A Wisconsin State Senate committee considered proposed legislation on Tuesday that would make school bus safety education mandatory for student drivers. While many drivers' education programs do cover school bus safety, it's not technically required under state law. The bill would guarantee student drivers learn to operate safely around school buses on different types of roads. The goal is to reduce the number of school bus safety violations and avoid the potentially severe consequences of passing buses, picking kids up, or dropping them off. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has released preliminary results for this year's bear hunting season. The season ran from September 3rd to October 7th with over 13,000 bear hunting licenses awarded. Hunters fell about 300 shy of the statewide bear harvest target of nearly 4,100. Zone A in northern Wisconsin was the only zone with a harvest total above its target of 1,075, seeing 1,161 bears harvested. Zone D in western Wisconsin saw the second highest harvest total at 906. Officials from the Indian Head Community Action Agency's Rusk County Food Pantry say they're still looking for a new location following the closure of their Ladysmith facility last month. The organization's board of directors met last week, saying their goal is to remain in the Ladysmith area in a low or no rent building. They also say they've applied for tax-exempt status for new grant funding, but may not hear back for a while due to the ongoing federal government shutdown. Feed My People Food Bank is hosting pop-up pantries to fill the growing demand for food services. To honor the upcoming 50th anniversary of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald, a new memorial has been erected along Lake Superior in Washburn. The memorial was built with locally sourced and historically significant materials, including part of the Ashland ore dock and taconite pellets, which was the ship's cargo when it sank in 1975. Organizers are inviting area residents to a dedication ceremony on Saturday at the Washburn Marina. The dedication ceremony will feature a reading of crew names and statements from community members. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Big news from the Taylor Sheridan universe. The Yellowstone creator is leaving Home, which is Paramount Plus, and migrating to NBC. In addition to Yellowstone and its many spinoffs, Sheridan has also created Lawman Bass Reeves, Tulsa King, The Mayor of Kingstown, and Lioness, just to name a few. His material will stay at Paramount Plus until his deal is up in 2028, but he can start working for NBC Universal in 2026 with a new screenplay that is headed for production. The Texas native has also written movies like Sicario, Hell or High Water, and wrote and directed 2017's Wind River, which starred Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth Olsen. According to The Hollywood Reporter, this is a big blow to Paramount, but they still have TV juggernauts Stranger Things and South Park, maybe the only two other shows on TV Sheridan didn't create. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZH. Hayward's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
Some fog this morning, but that will burn off here later today. But we will stay cloudy with a high right around 48 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We're going to drop to 31 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with some scattered showers, maybe even a flurry mixed in with a high in the mid to upper 40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
Listen to the Civic Media exclusive podcast, Busted Pencils.
I mean, that comes naturally for me, Jacob, as a blue-collar scholar. I really love knowing, hey, what are the skills I need to complete the job? And how can I be the very best? I really think that we owe it to the next generation. And I don't even mean just young people, but anybody thinking about, hey, I'm going to change my career pathway. I think we owe it to them to say, well, here are the experts in your industry.
Subscribe to Busted Pencils wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Let's say you have a couple who's about to get married. You get them a gift at the wedding shower. You get them a gift at the wedding. You get them a gift at the baby shower. If they buy a house, you get them a housewarming gift.
I have never been married. I doubt I ever will be. What do? You just say, I'm going to celebrate my singlehood. Bring me a gift. Brett Brown Deere says, Todd, you don't get a gift for not getting married because you already won by staying single.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Immigrants seeking naturalization as U.S. citizens will now need to answer twice as many questions correctly as before the Trump administration. Can I pass it? Find out. Join us next time.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
All right, Joe Specky is standing by on this Thursday morning. It's 8:35. First, a little bit more with Sean O'Malley about your money and the markets, and we're going to talk about the bubble in AI. But Sean, before we wrap things up here, I gotta sound kind of sort of whiny here. This is new from the Associated Press. President Trump says he's made a deal with China's President Xi, and that China has agreed to purchase 25 million metric tons of soybeans annually for the next 3 years. Allow me to editorialize for a moment. No, 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 no. This happens every time where Trump says we have a deal. We have concepts of a plan. Last time around, in his first term, he also did this. He also said China was going to go back to buying soybeans, and they didn't right away. It took a while for China to come back in, and yet everybody reads the headline, Sean, and we're not going to look at the reality. This is, once again, Trump saying he has a deal without an actual deal in place.
Yeah, he's got a history of doing stuff like this. He wants to paint a very rosy picture because that reflects well on him, he believes. Unfortunately, until it's actually signed and done, I wouldn't say that you have any semblance of a deal, particularly since the standard purchases that China makes per year have been replaced by Brazil and Argentina. So unless they're going to be increasing their purchases of soybeans, their soybean purchase is already locked in for this year.
Dear national media, you've learned nothing. At least put in the word claims. Trump claims to have a deal, blah, blah, blah. All right, let's set that aside. Yep. That's the breaking news there. Now, we were speaking a little bit ago about what is seems to really be becoming an AI bubble in the stock market. Is there anything that, you know, your typical investor should know or do, like stay away from, or do we need to, when you see what appears to be a bubble, do you start hedging ahead of time, or what do you advise?
Yeah, you should start to hedge ahead of time. That's why I made that statement right after coming back from Europe a couple of weeks ago. That is still my statement. It's what I'm doing personally. I'm advising others to do it, but let's just put it into perspective for 1 second. Okay. So These are facts, okay? This isn't, you know, the real question is whether AI is going to live up to the hype, yes or no. But right now, the valuation, the AI bubble is 17 times the size of the dot-com bubble, 17, and 4 times the size of the real estate bubble from 2008, which caused, of course, the financial crisis. So if it pays off, great. But that is a lot of risk, and that is a lot of exposure, and that is a lot of concentration. And do you really want to roll the dice?
And by the way, even if it is that successful, we just went over all the layoff numbers. It is coming at such a price in terms of labor, and we do not have the policies in place to make sure that all these Americans who are losing their jobs because of essentially automation can either find new work or have, you know, the proper safety net to say, hey, it's great. The robots mean we don't have to work so much anymore, but let's make sure we can afford groceries. So, I mean, there's a lot that has to be processed. We didn't get it right with NAFTA, and we risk not getting it right with AI as well. He said whining, you know.
Yeah, true. But, I mean, the real issue is that you're looking at the possibility that, you know, with especially with this administration being so, you know, pro-deregulation, there is going to be no safety net. It's going to be laissez-faire, and you've got to watch out for yourself, because that is the attitude of this government.
All right. I've gobbled up too much time for us to get to the trade deficit and the national debt. We're going to get to both of those next week as well with Sean O'Malley. Sean, thank you so much for all the expertise. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Pat. Have a great day.
Yep, you as well. All right, let's bring in Joseph Pecky for the rest of the hour here, and Todd Albo will be joining us along the way as well. Joe, how are you today?
I'm doing all right. How are you? Other than whiny.
You see these things, and it's like, again, why? Why aren't we learning? This guy does have a track record, you know? I just feel like that's not being said nearly enough. Anyway, let me put Parker Olson, our fine producer, on notice. If Parker, if you've got that sound clip from Congressman Derek Van Orden that we played just a little after 6 a.m., I want to play it again, because I think that, I mean, Congressman Van Orden has said some things over the past couple of days, again, trying to sound moderate. It's not really working. He is what he is. And so we came upon this clip from last December. Okay. Donald Trump had been elected, was going to serve a second term as president. Republicans were going to take the Senate and the House. And so maybe they were going to end the dysfunction in passing a budget. And here's what he had to say on one radio show.
When we have unified government, I'll be very clear about this. When we have unified government, if we cannot get our 12 appropriations bills through in a budget, then we don't deserve to be in the majority any longer. We don't. You know, I don't sugarcoat anything. And I'll take the paint off anybody that is talking smack about these sorts of things. That includes members of my own party. So a lot of the reasons you got to understand that we didn't get a lot of things done was because of members of the Republican Party. Some of our far right guys held things up in the rules committee. They voted against rules if the rule passed, and they prevented a lot of these measures getting through. So that's true. The other side of the coin is anything we do has to get through the Senate, which was controlled by Chuck Schumer. And it still is until we get through January. So I'll say that again real clear. When we have unified government, if we can't get our 12 appropriations bills through and a budget passed, then we do not deserve to be in the majority, period.
I'm Becca Cook, and I approve this message. I'm Emily Berge. I approve this message. I'm State Party Chair Devin Remiker, and I approve this message. And Joe, every word he said is true.
Yeah, I could not have said it any better myself, and I don't want to talk any smack or DVO is going to tear the paint off me, whatever that means. So well said, Congressman. We agree on something.
Yeah, so that's where we stand. We don't have to dwell too much on the shutdown, other than the whole notion of, let's again clarify, the cut in SNAP benefits, the cutoff is not necessary. It's never been done in a shutoff, and there are literally billions of dollars in a contingency fund expressly for this purpose of making sure families don't go hungry. And the Trump administration says, oh, no, we can't touch that. Joe, the cruelty is the point.
It is a choice that they are making. And families will go hungry, including some military families, which is unconscionable at any time, at any moment. And it's the choice that Republicans are making, because they would rather you pay more for health care next year than actually get to work and actually pass appropriations bills.
Yeah, there is some talk that there's a little chatter behind the scenes, maybe even involving Senator Tammy Baldwin to get some of these appropriations bills passed. And you know, that has me a little concerned, Joe, because on both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats, they're talking about how there's cracks in the unity. And I know we don't want this to go on forever, but I do worry that once again, we're going to get a case of Lucy and Charlie Brown and the football, where they reach a deal to pass some appropriations bills, and that down the road we will resolve, you know, X, Y, and Z. But that would involve a level of trust, Joe, that is just not there in Washington anymore.
No, it's not. But I am as optimistic as I have been since this government shutdown that they're going to get this right. And here's why. Americans are procrastinators. We are. It's not just the college kids. Yeah. And a lot of consumers in the affordable healthcare marketplace have not availed themselves of the window shopping period. They do not yet know just how much these healthcare costs are going up. And when you look at the history of the Affordable Care Act, what we have seen is that the growth, particularly in the last 5 years, has largely been in red states, in smaller communities that tend to vote Republican. It is Republican constituents who are going to have sticker shock starting Saturday when the open enrollment period begins. And they will not be happy. Their congresspeople will hear from them. And I think that that will create the space for a deal to happen, hopefully very quickly. We cannot go a week without SNAP benefits available to people. And Republicans don't want to go a week or 2 weeks with their constituents mad as hell about what they're going to be forced to pay for healthcare next week.
I hope so. I was a little concerned by this one stat from the Marquette poll yesterday. Among Republicans, 2 out of 3, 67%, say the credits for health insurance should expire, while, of course, 89% of Democrats and 54% of independents want the credits to be continued. Joe, I feel like either that 67% of Republicans that say the credits should go away either haven't shopped yet or are, I guess, somehow kidding themselves that in the end they won't have to pay these higher premiums. And like you said, they're in for a rude awakening.
And what they also, what folks who are not on Obamacare plans tend to forget is that we end up paying for it when fewer people have health insurance coverage. Yeah. Because the hospitals and the big drug companies and the, all the CEOs, they're not going to take a haircut on this stuff. So it's going to mean that we pay more if we happen to have employer-sponsored coverage or a part of a group plan. And so this is a, you know, healthcare is, I think, the fifth largest component of the United States economy. This is going to have aftershocks across the board if they don't get it fixed.
Political strategist Joe Zepecki is joining us on this Thursday morning. Todd Albo will be along before too long as well. Now, again, my usual disclaimer on the Marquette poll or any polling, we don't get too deep into it, especially on the horse race stuff. But it was intriguing to see some of the positions on various issues. Here, let me skip. I was going to do the governor one. Let me do the one that encourages me the most right now. Name recognition is still not high between the two announced candidates, appeals court judges Chris Taylor and Maria Lazar. However, despite the lack of knowledge about the race, 7 out of 10 registered voters said they are absolutely certain to vote in April when there will be a Supreme Court race on the ballot. That is a level of civic engagement, Joe, that makes me very happy to live in Wisconsin.
Yeah, most states never see that amount of interest, even the week before an election. And yeah. So I was not surprised by how little known these candidates are. Mass communication is a thing. There's a reason that campaigns have to raise all these resources to spend talking to voters. That will come, and it will come very soon. For now, enjoy the lull when you don't have campaign commercials on your TVs and your screens as you're watching your stories.
Yes. Now, as for the gubernatorial field on the Democratic side, and I say this completely tongue-in-cheek, I love Francesca Hong, but of course, how do you not have a subject line in an email that says, I'm number one in the polling for governor? Now, here's where that polling is. She's at 8%. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, 4%. Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley and State Senator Kel DeRoyce, 3%. Missy Hughes at 2%. Undecided, 81%. So yes, you can be in first place with 81%, or you can be in first place with 6%, as Fran Hong is. That other 81% is going to take some time before they weigh in.
The other part of this is that in the Democratic primary ballot test, the margin of error was 6.8 or 6.9%. So,
which is everybody.
Nobody's outside of the margin of error of even having support at all.
Yes. So again, that's the magic of polling. But what you did get is obviously the candidates from Madison and Milwaukee are better known than other candidates. Similar numbers you see on the Republican side as well. But I was very encouraged, again, like I said, to see the level of civic engagement. People understand that these races are big deals and that the August primary is going to be so important next year. We'll continue this conversation in just a bit. We'll be joined by Todd Alba of the conveniently named Todd Alba Show as we wrap things up from Lake Wissota for a Thursday morning here across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
And
as Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
We were in the bottom 10 states for creating jobs and for entrepreneurial activity.
Is Representative Tom Tiffany right? Does Wisconsin rank among the bottom 10 states in job creation and entrepreneurship? Yes, although not in every business climate ranking. National Business Capital, a business lender, ranked Wisconsin 42nd for starting a business, while Simplify LLC, a publication serving startups, ranked it 43rd. But WalletHub and U.S. News ranked Wisconsin's business climate in the mid-30s, and CNBC and a poll of CEOs both ranked it 21st. From 2018 to 2025, Wisconsin added 63,300 jobs, ranking 40th nationally, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We got one more note off the text line before I forget here. We did get a note from Joe in Superior about our segment earlier on Medicare Advantage plans, saying the American healthcare system and understanding Medicare choices is such a cluster. It's little wonder people throw up their hands and simply take the Medicare Disadvantage Plan sales pitch, which makes it very simple to sign up. And yeah, that's we talked about all the commercials for Medicare Advantage plans. And now more than half of seniors who qualify for Medicare, more than half are on Medicare Advantage plans, not because they're so great, but because they see all these TV commercials, whereas original Medicare, that's a government program. The government can't run that many TV ads compared to the money insurance companies have. And so again, the main thrust of our segment this morning was to look very carefully and don't just pick something because, you know, Joe Namath or JJ Walker from Good Times runs a commercial telling you to buy a Medicare Advantage plan. So, all right, having that out of the way, we welcome in Todd Albert to the discussion. Todd reporting from outside, and the clouds are dark back there. They're not palm trees, and so I know he's not waiting for Hurricane Melissa, but it's a little gloomy where you are out there. Thank God you're there brightening things up.
Thank you, Pat. I am feeling dynamite. Oh, that's all I have
this morning. J.J. Walker reference.
Yeah, yeah, wow. Absolutely. No, it's I'm here on the near west side of Matt. I thought we could enjoy a little fall weather out here. It's a beautiful time of year. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you got
a little coffee in hand.
And good. You got a coffee. You got a hand warmer in the form of the coffee mug. Nice. Todd, I was just going to ask Joe about something that you and I discussed on your program yesterday, and that was Senator Tammy Baldwin's announcement yesterday of endorsing Rebecca Cook in the 3rd Congressional District primary, which, again, is still almost a year away. And you and I talked about the strategic advantages or disadvantages of a U.S. senator making a declaration already. I believe the word you used was coronation. So let me get Joe Zepecki's thoughts on this first, and then we'll see. Joe, I'll put it pretty bluntly. Why would Senator Tammy Baldwin make an endorsement in any congressional district race at this early stage?
I don't know. If I was a United States senator, I would not. My speculation is that given that some of Senator Baldwin's colleagues, like Bernie Sanders, have already endorsed Rebecca Cook, that she felt like she needed to, you know, do that to give a colleague some cover. I don't know. I tend to think that primaries are a good thing. And, you know, listen, the fundraising disparity, certainly Rebecca Cook has a big advantage going into next year. And I can understand an argument that we want to marshal resources to focus on Mr. Van Orden. But, you know, I think primaries are a good thing. They're healthy. And, you know, but Tammy Baldwin's an awfully smart politician who's done very well in this state. So who am I to question her?
No, and I can definitely be accused of overthinking this. But what I said to Todd on his show was I think that Senator Baldwin looked at that there are divisions in the among Democrats in the 3rd Congressional District, and this was her way of saying not so much that this was had anything to do with Emily Berge or the people that support her, but to say we need to be united now. We don't have the luxury of waiting until August 12th of next year. Otherwise, Derek Van Orden is going to walk into this again. Todd, now that you've had a night to reflect on it, to what degree does it still constitute meddling or coronation as opposed to something more strategic on her part?
Well, I would just agree with what Joe just said, which is Tammy Baldwin. I mean, on another show, Joe, you talk about this. I think Tammy Baldwin, along with Tony Evers, are one of the few undefeated politicians in the state. So, yeah, she's pretty darn smart, a lot smarter than I am. I come at this with a guy who lost two Republican primaries for the assembly. So, yeah, maybe I'm a little salty about it. and also, I pointed out the show yesterday, you know, and Joe knows this, when Tammy ran in the what was it, 5 or 6 way primary in 1998, she was not the favorite to win in a pretty rural 2nd congressional district. It was Joe Winicky, a more centrist Democrat state senator. So she benefited from a primary. I guess I with Joe, I just like primaries. I think it you find out who the strong person is. And I think that maybe last time around the 3rd district, Mark Pilkin endorsing Katrina Shanklin, who I like a lot, is a very smart politician. But I think you found out in the primary, Rebecca Cook was the better primary campaigner. And so I think the campaigns, primaries tend to do that.
Okay. I'm giving this short shrift, and I completely acknowledge it. We have not talked very much about Governor Evers versus legislative Republicans on the prison overhaul program. Joe, we'll try to give it more time later, but in the very short time that we have here, is this just another case of legislative Republicans just trying to get in the way of whatever Governor Evers is trying to do, or is there a genuine need for bipartisan negotiation on this issue?
I think there has been bipartisanship on the prison closure issue, and there needs to continue to be. One of the hard things about, let's use the military base closing commissions, the BRAC commissions. Yeah. When there are parochial local issues in a statewide system like the Department of Corrections, individual legislators are going to be focused on their community and not the big picture. Yeah. The idea that before we have even brought in outside experts, the consultants who can look at the whole state, look at the whole picture and the whole system and make recommendations about what is the best path forward, that even before that happens, we're going to have individual legislators you know, talking only about their own slice of the system doesn't make sense to me. So this is fighting for fighting's sake before we've even got to the main event. Let's let the undercard sift through this thing with outside experts. That's what the $15 million is for.
Under 30 seconds, Todd, you want to add any insight on this prison overhaul debate?
I agree largely with Joe. I think it's something that's been ongoing in this state. It should have been taken care of administrations ago, and I give Evers credit for pushing it through.
There you go. Finally, on the text line from Jim in Brookfield, always good to see Todd Alba on the morning program, apparently looking to expand his role to be a Weather Channel reporter. I love that. Yeah.
Jim Santori of Civic Media.
Jim Cantori.
Hang on.
Hang on to that lamppost there, Todd. You'll be okay. All right. Todd Alba, Joseph Peck, you guys, thank you both so much. Appreciate it. Thanks to all of you for joining us as well. By the way, Todd's going to have Chuck Collins on from Patriotic Millionaires at 2:30 this afternoon. I'm Pat Kreitler from Up North News. Have a great day. We'll see you Friday morning, bright and early here up north.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump saying on social media overnight that the U.S. is going to resume nuclear testing for the first time in more than 30 years. He says it's the only way to keep up with Russia and China. The president also announcing that a one-year trade deal was reached between China and the U.S. during the APEC summit in South Korea. The death toll across the Caribbean from Hurricane Melissa stands at least 30 people. However, says ABC's Ike Ajachi in Jamaica,
unfortunately, the officials have said that they do, in fact, expect to see more bodies. They're removing the debris from the roads, and that's when they're starting to find more and more bodies. So essentially, the officials are telling us as they do their job, the death toll is expected to rise even more.
The federal government shutdown is now on day 30. SNAP food benefits for low-income Americans run out this weekend. Also, food banks are being set up for federal workers who haven't been paid since the beginning of the month. This is ABC News.
You're listening.